Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you wanna be my friend.
And I do.
You do?
What kind? Like the kind I gotta dip in ink? You ever use those? Ever use like an inky?
Like we did
dip in the old days, it wasn't so long.
No, I've never had. Have you?
The band that wants to socialize, but they have to do the show.
And I wish you. They combine the banter. Well, and
are
the
you
song
going out tonight? What are you guys doing now?
Sign your pen. Do you think you'd be good at banter? I mean, I know we're comics, but banter's different.
It's tough.
Banter, it's tough. Between song banter.
Because you're cold.
Because you've seen Steve Martin do a concert, right?
Yeah.
And he...
Well, no, I don't know.
Like, he's gotten back into it, comedy, and obviously with the Martin Short thing, it is live
comedy.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, that's, I've seen that.
Yeah. Oh, you saw that.
I saw the Netflix of it. I didn't see it live.
I saw him like 7-8 years ago, maybe even longer, at the Hollywood Bowl doing a concert.
Banjo?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But his banter in between... is still Steve Martin doing comedy.
Crushing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah. That's a gift. Cause you're like, oh man, we're getting Steve Martin and then we're getting these badass, you know, folk music songs.
It was wonderful. But you're the person, you don't remember this. This was probably 2013.
Okay.
We were backstage at UCB.
Okay.
And I asked you if you had read Born Standing Up.
Yeah.
And you go, I listened to it.
Yeah.
And I go, what? And you're like, he does the bits.
Yeah.
It's him.
Yeah.
He's reading it, but you're hearing him do the bits again.
I think,
and
someone
that's why I listened to it.
I think I had the same experience as someone else because I read it because I loved it.
Yeah, me too.
And then someone told me that, and then I was like, oh. So I don't know who the originator is.
The relay, yeah.
I was just a middleman there.
Hey, one other thing.
But how great, though.
Oh, my God. I sent you a TikTok of people listening to Tool for the first time. Did you watch it?
I loved it.
What's, you know, that what song? Why won't you play that?
That's the pot. That's the pot.
Wait, hold on. What?
Which I think Maynard says.
Wait, that's
is
the
perfect song for someone being an introduced to Tool. That's what they should hear.
Can I ask
the
you
song
an honest is called guy question? The Pot. I'm not cool. Okay,
you're cool.
Do you think of all our pennies and pallors, there are more people who are familiar with and or like Tool, or is there more people like me who know it's a band and don't hate it in any way, but aren't?
I'd start crying. I'm not offended at all.
But aren't like, don't listen to it or don't, it doesn't, not for lack of artistic ability, it just doesn't hold a place in their life.
I would say there is a low percentage of our listeners who listen to Tool. And I only say
but
that
huge, and you've made me, dude,
I know.
I feel shitty for saying this.
I know.
You've made me realize how big.
Yes.
Tool, and you and I and Adam, hung out once, right? Yeah.
But I think that's what it takes.
He came to a show. I don't know. And like all my friends from home, like, lost it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't know. And they were like, it's fucking Tool, Daniel.
I know.
And I'm like, I didn't know.
I know.
Which makes me feel shitty because I love
Adam. On this tour,
and everything you've shown me, I'm like, this is art music.
On this tour that they're currently on, when is what? Again, you know,
sure.
the Bengals just started the first season, the first week of the Super Bowl.
They're still in that bit.
It's just because I think I got so mad that we haven't been doing a joke like that the whole time. Like, oh, the Lakers won. Oh, well, I hope they win. I mean, this is just game one of 90.
Right.
But you and I will go to a show.
I would love to go.
Because I know for a fact, artistically, you would go, fuck. But I also know that musically, I think people talk about Tool. And I think people who don't know, their instinct is to go, oh, well, it's heavy metal.
All I remember is the music video.
Oh, they're dark.
The one that blew up. No, Adam, the big one that blew up with the little Adam, like guy yeah, like Adam, going through the
Adam
stuff.
Adam makes them. And what is so amazing about it is that it's like...
Adam makes the videos?
Adam does the music videos. Adam used to work in special effects. He worked on Jurassic Park. He worked on Terminator 2.
Whoa.
He did makeup. He did.
What
he
you
built.
This
he
is
built
how you
like
sell
the
me
raptor.
This guy.
He built
Don't sell me
the
with
raptor.
His little guitar. Sell me with
his little guitar. Well, he's not playing music. A ukulele.
Oh, he could shred a uke. Dear, he dear. Could shred a uke. Dear, dear. That's probably a real song, right? That you were just doing?
Yeah, it is. But I think people, they've seen those videos. They've maybe seen YouTube videos of the band. They hear the music, and I think they just go, oh, this is dark, and it's angry, and
song?
It's scary. But I don't think that's truly
what's the
what...
Pop?
It's off of 10,000 Days. It's great. It's a great song. That's the song that's in
that
video.
That felt like a jam.
It's great. It's awesome. That song has
Look,
amazing
if you're
moments.
If you're a Penny or Paller and you're like me and you're like, I love Rory's love of things and I love Dan's Cabin. I get it. We're infectious. Listen to this song of Tool. Because I like the stuff you showed me after we did Mushrooms and went floated down the river.
Yeah.
That was great. It was also very good for that time.
Yeah.
But this song was a jam.
Yeah.
That's an old song?
2006.
Okay. What's the song with
which is two albums ago? Which is like, oh,
what's
Jesus.
The song with the video and the little guy?
There's a lot. There's a lot of
okay.
different ones.
I don't know, man.
There's a lot.
I don't know,
but I could show you all that stuff.
Okay.
But I, you know, to me, it's like, you know, I listen to the lyrics and I listen to the music and I just connect with it. And if someone goes, I've tried and I just don't get it.
That's fine.
I get that person. But when someone goes, ah, it's not for me, it's too heavy. I'm like, that person usually hasn't listened to it and tried. Because I have converted some friends. I have specifically my friend Andrew Shawcross from high school. I don't think he was that big into Tool. And he got me into Fish. He was more jam band. He could play guitar. He was fucking amazing. Very outdoorsy guy. That was his vibe.
Yeah.
Then when we did the Tool Comedians Following Tool tour, we went to Phoenix. He lives in Flagstaff. And so he came and hung out and I got him a ticket and we went to their show.
He experienced it.
And he went to the live show and then he messaged me how obsessed he had become with them afterwards. He was like, I'm playing at home. The kids are dancing to it. I'm into it. I can't believe it. And he's like, he knows music. He really studied guitar. So he has a different appreciation for what they're doing. And I think anyone who's ever played any instrument, listening to them, you have to go like, oh, they are doing some incredible stuff. And there's people who rip them apart who just think it's a joke.
I don't
and they don't
like
get
those
it.
People, right?
That's everybody. But every like single people. Person who's ever done anything, if 100% of the people liked you, you're up to something.
That's my
you're
thing.
Up to something.
That's my thing. I don't want to be for
something
everybody.
Weird. There's something
I don't
weird.
Mind being for most people. I don't mind being for good people. I don't mind being for nice people.
Yeah.
But I have no interest in being for everybody.
That's what I tell people about stand-up shows. Like when a comic tells a joke and the whole room laughs, great. But if you go, oh, the whole room didn't laugh, only a percentage laugh. I don't know why people's perception is that every joke, the comic is trying to get the whole room. And I think...
Some are.
But when you do tell a joke and you get the whole room, it's awesome.
Right.
But you know what is also fun is when you tell a joke and five people don't just laugh, they fucking are crying laughing.
Because you hit them.
That is different than 300 people laughing. Now, if I was at a point where 300 people were crying laughing, and that I've been in that position.
Sure.
Those are so special. Those are so special. Like, well, the reality is it's maybe twice. But those moments are so special.
Sure.
Because you're like, oh, shit. But even on a show like that, I still said something that got it back to five people going, we're still with you. And I'm like, the numbers are kind of always the same. But, you know, I've told jokes where over here kind of laughs and then over here laughs. It's like the jokes aren't for everybody, at least for me. And that's what music is like. It's like, it's not for everybody. But when people go, fuck this, like, what are you talking about?
It's not. I don't like that.
We're gonna
I don't
go like see Tool. We're gonna go see.
I'm
Tool.
In. I love Adam.
I know you're in.
It's we're interesting. Gonna go... My whole context for him is outside of loving the music.
Yeah.
How much I like hanging out with him and getting to know him.
Yeah. And honestly, if you listeners, if we do have listeners who do enjoy Tool, don't be afraid to follow Adam Jones on Instagram and just constantly leave comments.
Dude, just for the comic books
constantly
alone.
Leave comments about how he should be a guest on Ben Bells and just see if it gets to him and he finally...
Let's bully our friend.
We're going to have to. there's a chance we almost had him to be a guest on this show, but make no mistake, I will not stop working at trying to get Adam Jones on this podcast. So help us out. But in the meantime, let's go to the letters! Stop and that's it. How you know it's real, people.
Remember when you used to do that with your mouth?
No, I don't have to anymore now that we have these videos. Now that we have these videos, I don't have to do it. Here we go.
Okay,
and this one's fun. This is from OG. This is OG. Okay. Powler Town. Hey, pals.
Hey.
Well, we did it.
What?
My person and I, along with my mom and stepmom, have purchased a big space of land, almost 50 acres, just outside of Asheville, North Carolina. We're doing it. We're working towards building an off-grid, sustainable homestead, and I couldn't be more jazzed about it. That being said, there's so much preparation, organization, and work to start now in order for us to step into the reality of this being our home, and I am at the same time overwhelmed and filled with optimistic vision. Luckily, my person is particularly talented in construction and planning, and this has been extremely comforting. The land itself is amazing. It has streams that originate on it, hills, pasture areas, tons of trees, and plenty of space for not only our family, but for friends who want to try living this dream with us. We have begun to plan the layout, delegate jobs, and really just work on manifesting this kick-ass future for us. The plan is to have things pretty up and running within the next 4 years so that when I'm finished with my PhD, we can begin our transition out of the systems that bind us and into the space that will hold us for the future. Because I love both of you, love you both so very much, and all my pennies and pals out there, I would love to get some thoughts on what kinds of things you might dream of. Home styles, foods, animals, art, music, plants, all of it, if you are in our position. I also extend an invite to you both and your fams, and I will be taking her up on this, as well as any particularly cool pals who may be looking for something similar in their lives. Come on down. We'll save a little spot for you. Love and hugs, Kate Barnes. OG.
OG. Weekend of Tuxes, Kate Barnes.
Weekend of Tuxes, year one, right?
It has to be.
All the way back. All the way back.
Okay. Rory, you want to do this?
I got to say, just reading this information.
Got you riled up.
I'm jazzed about a thing that I'm not even getting. You know what I mean? Because it feels so good. It's almost like, oh, in my mind, I've thought about a thing. And to hear someone doing a thing, you go, that's because these things are reality.
I think if you did this,
so we'd
lose you.
You would 100%.
No, I don't know if you'd keep doing stand-up.
The only way that this would continue is if you bought a plot with me and we had a studio on the land and we rode
the show. You're 100% done.
And Kate, take note of this. And the studio, we put in a particular spot so that when we went there, you and I both had to take a Mario Kart style go-kart track all the way up to the studio. So when it was like, I got to go to work, babe. It's like, oh, you mean in the most fun way possible? I'm like, yeah, Daniel says he's leaving in 2 minutes. So I got to leave in 2 minutes because I'm going to hit him off at the pass and we're going to race up the thing. That's that. So Kate, take that idea if you want to.
But I don't. Would you keep
She's
doing,
like, Kate, start a podcast and do that.
Would you keep doing stand up?
You'd be
so off grid.
I think that's fine. I think going off grid is great, but I think you and I both have this because we did come from, you definitely came from a town.
Yeah.
Where a township, if we're honest. And I really came from a city. As small as it is, it's still a city. So there's that vibe of it, but I think it's still small enough to where you and I realize we are city guys, but there's also a heavy percentage that's like, get in the woods and get away from everybody. Mm-hmm. But I don't think extremes of both are healthy for us. Like getting off the grid, love it. But then I got to dip my toes into going away for 3 days to do stand up in wherever the fuck. And then I want to get off the grid again.
For sure.
Because I want both. I love the city. I love city life.
I do too.
But also I want to wake up and not have to hear anything. Yeah. I want to be able to drive to the grocery store and it's not traffic. Even if you say, well, it's a great distance because you're out in the woods. I'll take a great long drive.
It's leisurely.
Than a non-moving drive, you right. know?
Yeah.
Leisurely, yes. But I'm jealous of this.
You want to do it?
I'd love to do it. Especially outside of Asheville. Asheville is such a, you've performed there.
No.
You would love Asheville. Asheville's
I
awesome.
I think Raleigh's the only place in North Carolina I've done.
You haven't done Wilmington?
Mm-mm.
Do you want me to start booking you?
Sure.
I take 80%.
I don't care.
All right. But I also don't really negotiate a high rate.
It's 20 bucks.
You'll make 20 and I make 100. You're going to work for $100. Your overhead is going to be way over that. It's going to take you 500 to get there.
We just went 80-20 on that.
80-20. Not even on purpose.
Here's, I know, if I'm honest. That's why I realized it after the fact. Okay, here's my thing, though. How far off the grid are we talking?
If she's just outside of Asheville, North Carolina, she's not like off.
No,
the
but
grid.
I mean on the property themselves. Like, it's how do you get running water? Are we doing everything solar? You're growing everything yourself.
They're for sure.
Are you killing your own chickens?
The fact that she's talking about off grid sustainable, I think a lot of that is for sure the case. I think solar power. I mean, solar power. That's just a smart way to go, anyways. Well, and agree. Then also, there obviously is going to be plumbing, but I bet you that. I mean, if we know
well.
Kate They're the way we
well.
Think we
it's
do.
A septic and a well, right?
Yeah. And I'm sure she'll do it in the way that in current times is the most environmentally sound way to do it. And also Asheville is the city to help you do all those things. Asheville Why? Has that vibe. They're like that. They're like, yeah, no, we think these are the pipes that are the best for this. Yeah. Solar power is going to be the best for this. You should do that. Like Asheville's vibe is very much like, you know, the products that she's going to need to purchase already come from a place of people going, yeah, we're thinking about the next 50 years.
Oh, nice.
You know, not that the entire state of North Carolina is doing that.
Can
yeah,
I ask you another question?
Like, this gets me so excited.
When she says we'll save a little spot for you, she means to visit or you could go move down
I
there
bet
too.
You, and here's my guess, because I had a buddy, Johnny, who was going to buy 100 acres
woods
in North Carolina and try to divvy up 25 acre plots to get four families. It'd be like, hey, it's four friends and the families, and this is our like space.
Right.
And I was like, I was like, oh yeah, how much does that cost? And I think I could be way wrong, but I think it was very affordable in terms of splitting it up.
Uh-huh.
I think it might've been like $200,000 for 100 acres.
Wow.
So if you're like, oh, you get this acres, and now you're talking about like, well, you got to build a house and all this stuff. But to have 25 acres, I mean, this is 50. To have, I don't know if you've ever been able to stand on a property where someone goes, this a property is an acre.
Yeah.
And you can see it all the way around because it's fenced. I've only done that in Joshua Tree. Right. My buddy has an acre and a half and it's fenced and there's no trees.
Right.
So standing there, I was like, oh, I've never actually seen what that actually looks like. Yeah, yeah. So when someone's like, I have 300 acres, I'm now like, whoa, that is so much land that it's crazy. Like his acre and a half, I was like, you could build another house in this corner on this acre and a half and still have a lot of space between those those two homes. Yeah, this gets me pretty excited. Here's what I ask you. You're going to do the house. First off, what style of house? You're going to live in this house. It's not a vacation home.
Barn.
What style? You're going to do a barn style
big
house.
Big open, like almost like a hangar style. I want a big open space.
Open space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then
elevated rooms, open space down.
And that's the home. What is, when, like, you're going to build a second building that's like, there's so much space that it's almost like, this is for you.
Okay.
It's not even for your significant other. This is like man cave, but it's a whole building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you have the place.
Right.
What is that? What are you doing in there primarily? What is that space for you?
I feel like I need to work in a small space.
No. That's not weird at all.
Almost like, even if I had like a large space and I could do like a movie room.
Yeah.
And like, I could do like a kitchen.
Yeah.
The place where I was going to work, I would like our studio right now is probably about as big as I would want if I was going to have my own little space.
Yeah.
I feel like it has to be tight.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie.
That's your vibe. Yeah.
And you know, I think I get it from reading On Writing. Stephen King book On Writing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He talks about your space and like how you should
thought the title was Reading on Writing.
He said write with the door closed
and writing edit about with reading.
The door open.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah.
He when he first made it, he bought himself this huge, gorgeous desk.
Yeah.
And he always found himself like in this smaller room,
with his like typewriter or computer. Desk,
yeah, like yeah. writing. And he's like, it kind of needs to be.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm romanticizing that and then like being like, yeah, me too, Stephen
yeah.
King.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do like it intimate. Yeah. I want to toil away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Intimately.
Yeah.
Well, you might just need a space in the house.
Also my
you don't
bio.
Even need a second building.
Huh?
Wait, what is it? Toil away intimately?
Yeah.
I just need a space to toil. A space to toil I would by Daniel
love,
Van Kirk.
I really would love to have a theater room.
Yeah.
But even when I think about that, you know what I miss?
What?
The tops of other people's heads in front of me. I'm not joking.
I mean, look, you have the space. You're building the home. You can make it so it's wildly inconvenient to have someone sit in front of you if that's what you want.
I'm going to ask you a goddamn question. I'll kick your foot. Do you honestly think that the people who fucking torrented or bootlegged or just even by themselves eventually watched Endgame had as much fun as the people who saw it in a full theater, even close?
Forget
the word fun. The word fun. Do you think they even had this even anywhere close to the same cinematic impact?
No, it's impossible to.
I could get emotional right now talking about how much I love that. It doesn't even have to be a big Marvel movie,
right?
Pacific Rim. Yeah. It happened to me at the ArcLight. R.I.P.
Are all the people the vibe?
Yes.
Can I tell you
dramatic movies, man? He's a bit problematic, but not a bit. He is problematic, but Braveheart. When you see, if you saw Braveheart in the theater,
sure.
That's the first movie I ever just sat there and watched.
Well, that's why you don't want theaters to go away. That's why you hope theaters are able to maintain. And there is showing some like hope, and you're hoping
and
that
I think there
you're
will
hoping
be,
it doesn't also have to just be big budget studio films. Right. You're like, keep theaters alive. Like the Los Feliz 3 is like such a great example.
Tarantino, thankfully.
Yeah.
Or did he buy the Vista?
Vista. But I mean, the Vista is an amazing experience. Yeah, but I will say this, best movie that I ever saw, two best movies I ever saw, giant crowd.
Yeah.
And one of them is timely. I'm going to give the second place finish first.
Okay.
The Day After Tomorrow. I saw it in DC at a place that's basically the Vista where it's just one screen.
Yeah.
Very old place.
Yeah.
Upper deck.
Nice.
Lower deck. Old school. Yeah. Tons of people. Probably two times the size of the Vista, maybe.
Yeah.
Watching that movie in DC where all of the like decisions they made about what was affecting the climate, like people were like laughing at some of the lines in this suspenseful movie.
That's the Gyllenhaal, right?
Yeah.
He runs from cold.
Yeah.
He runs from cold.
Yeah. He goes, it's Philadelphia. And he's like, I got to get to New York. And he's like, I'm going to walk it. And everyone's just like, what the fuck are you talking? That is not close at all.
I know.
Dennis Quaid and isn't that, but the best movie experience I ever had, and it's timely, was the first Jackass movie. College, sat in my seat,
100%.
Everybody had watched Jackass,
this
so we all knew what we were getting.
The next one's about to come out, I am going to see that.
Yes,
I am going to. I'll triple mask, in vaccine theater, only, whatever. If I can, I'm going to. I want to see
sure.
that.
I was in a weekend. Theater with let's say it was 300 people. It was sold out. It was shoulder to shoulder in your seat, and I'm with five of my college buddies. And to have 300 people all at the same time go, oh, and laughing and going, no, don't, fucking gross. All the reactions.
It's the best.
At the exact same time,
that
is the most fun I've ever had at a theater. It was like we were watching a TV show together. No one was there going, hey, let's all be quiet. Some people were like saying stuff back at the screen and you're like, more of that. This is what if you want to yell something at the screen, that it makes sense right now. When they said they were doing another Jackass movie, every time a new movie comes out, it's just like the fourth one, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Third. Every time one of them comes out, I always think back and I'm like, that was the most fun I ever had at a movie theater was watching the Jackass movie.
Talladega Nights came out on my birthday. I went that night to go see
Humble Brag.
And that night, I asked him to do it.
It's also like hours before my birthday. I'm like, I've had movies come out on my birthday.
I went and saw it. The scene where they're trying to get the knife out of Will Ferrell's leg.
Of course.
Might as well have been a Bernie Mac set.
Yeah.
The theater, I mean, when Michael Hawk Duncan is like, let me get another knife to get that knife out. I couldn't handle that. But I'm laughing with all these people together at this shared. Yeah. So as much as dude, I'm obsessed with Alone, right?
I
kind of like feel this pull to really want to go out and be by myself in the wilderness for a while. Even if it's for 4 days, I don't care. Plus me, two is probably going to be enough.
the two, you're going to go, I'm actually good.
Right.
Get me to the city.
You're
going to
stay two nights. Well, I was one night.
Get me to an overcrowded hotel as fast as possible.
So like, I love that, but I think there are some things like I would want. So I was like, man, I'd really love a theater room, but I know I would miss watching. Like, I still haven't watched The Matrix, the new one.
Yeah.
I have the ability. Yeah. I have a very nice big TV.
Yeah.
But I saw the first one I saw 8 times in the theater. It's a movie I've seen most in the theater.
Yeah.
And I kind of can't bring myself to watch it on my TV because it makes me sad that I didn't get to do it in a crowded theater.
Yeah.
So, but if I, to answer your question, I would have a space. A media room space. That would be a big thing to me that I would really, really love and enjoy. Yeah. But there'd be elements to it that I'd miss.
You don't have to put it, you think about the like theater room, like you could also just do some badass couches or recliners and really make it like, going to Daniel's to watch the Super Bowl is fucking epic because it's like this big screen. The food is over here. Like, you know, you want a drink, you go to the back. There's draft.
I feel like your
beer.
Answer is going
to
be way better than mine.
Mine is currently based in my obsession of art, painting and stuff right now. So me to be like,
dude, can you imagine if you just had a
slab
wall
of concrete?
Every single thing you need.
That's what I want.
Another
That's
canvas.
What I want.
I'm going to grab this. I'm going to grab
That's
this
what I want.
Today.
I mean, the garage.
And then you get like a big sheet thing that you can pull down of tarp so that you're never worried about the floor unless for you that's the
character.
That
makes it more fun.
Care.
Makes it more fun. Right, Let the floor get fucking destroyed. Just a slab of concrete. That's what I learned in the garage. Like, I have everything kind of organized, but I was doing something the other day and I would just open up a tube and I was like putting it straight on the canvas and I'd like do something with it and I was just throwing it down and I grab another one. And I looked down and I had like 10 open like caps everywhere and things. And I told Jordan, I was like, this is the messiest I've ever been. And I was like, and I kind of like it. Cause then I'm looking down, I'm like, where's the white? Give me the white. And I was like, just going. And I wasn't like thinking.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, you gotta the space, you know, it's not like you want it super clean, at least for me, like that, the space that I'm in, it's only occurred to me. And maybe I said this before, I've liked painting, but it wasn't until we cleaned out the garage and I realized, oh, the space really matters for the obsession to want to go and do it. Like, I've been painting, you know, since my dad passed away and I decided to do paintings for my siblings, I was doing it in my house. So I was like being super careful. It's like, well, this is the kitchen counter or the kitchen table or this is the
and
floor
like,
or the carpet.
The way I work.
So you're doing it in this way where you're like, you don't feel this freedom.
Flowing.
Yes. And because of it, you're like, and then I got to clean up, I got to make sure and all this stuff, but it's not a space to actually work in.
Right.
And then when we cleaned out the garage, the light bulb went off. I was like, oh, I would actually really commit to some kind of studio space for this. And it's funny that when Jordan and I were dating, I was like, I said this way forever ago. I was like, all I know is whatever house we have, I want to have one room where we can legit just throw paint at the walls and stuff. And we have all these canvases and anything you need. And it's like, go in there to just do whatever you want to do. And if it gets all over the walls and the floor, it's fine. That's what that room is for. Like, you just have concrete and whatever and you destroy it, but it's the art room. It's so funny that I have talked about wanting a space like that and then never explored it or tried to get it until we cleaned out the garage. And I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. This isn't fully there, but what I did just describe to you, that is what I would want on the property. I would just want to have a go-kart that's electric go-kart,
I'm with you on the go-kart
that I drive around. But here's what I would do. The entrance to get to it, I would, if I had 50 acres, I would love it if I could put what I'm talking about on the other side of a hill so that I could press a button and go into something similar like a bat cave and then come out on the other side and go into my studio and be like, this is where I paint, but I drive. I mean, even my go-kart, I would design it look like a Batmobile.
Do you know what else I would really
then
like?
I would just press a button and like the side of the hill would open. I'd go through a tunnel that we had put in and I'd go back to my house. Oh, that would be the
Do
best.
You know what else I would really like is a pond or like a small lake.
Yeah.
But really deep with a high rope swing,
yeah,
and a high jumping or diving platform.
Yeah.
Because to be able
to
have whenever you want the freedom of just being in the air and yes. falling yes. to me, I think it's why people like get addicted to those sorts of things.
Yes.
Because you have no control.
Yes.
And to be able to like go out and like do that whenever I want, I yeah. think like, I literally think I would have days where I was like, I think I just need to go jump off the,
I think I just got
the diving
jump.
Platform for a while.
Yeah.
And just kind of
yeah.
jump.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that just feel
or
great?
Or even just one time and you have this float that you can get on, but it's kind of in the water and kind of above the water. Oh, we get on, both. Ugh.
Well, we can do that at the cabin.
I love that we're not just talking about, at least me, I love that we're not just talking about like having the acreage and figuring out what to do with it. We're like, but then also I have $80 million to put towards.
Well, if we're going
to
imagine.
I almost said, yeah, well, you've got the platform, but also you have to have a tiki bar and there's an all-time bartender that's always at the tiki bar.
100%.
So once you jump in and you get out, you're like, hey, what's up? Yeah, you can give me another, what's the thing you made yesterday?
When people have the pool. But can't do the poolside bar.
Yeah.
Why'd you get the pool?
Yeah.
It's like when people get married and yeah. don't have an open bar.
Yeah.
It's like, well, then you didn't have enough money to get married.
And it's like, you know what? You didn't get married to this friendship. You didn't marry. You divorced to this friendship.
We're legally separated right now. We're going to have to do some work.
I'm not lying. I feel that way.
I did too.
Oh, I could give so many notes on weddings and probably have.
I love this. I could talk more about this. I hope Kate writes us more.
So
I hope the
jealous.
Patreon, we get letters from her about like the progress, the update.
Kate,
I know it's a while
can you
coming,
give us but. Some pictures for the Patreon that we can post on the site, even if it's just pictures of trees and streams and stuff?
Water
just to
would
let
have
people,
to be a factor of my...
I love the streams.
Yeah.
Not just one. Numerous
again,
streams.
The Airbnb.
50 acres.
We had that little stream going by our Airbnb and...
Oh, yes.
And
I love
where
it.
Were we?
Petaluma.
We know, but we were north
of it. A little north of it, but we were there to solve that crime. Kate, you know us. We love you. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Scovel
and Daniel Van Kirk.
Two.
Dude, you sniped my and we're back.
Welcome to part two.
Hey, we're going to keep saying this because I think it's worth it. Patreon.
Page, get in the page.
Every single week.
Palpatench.
There is a new episode. Which one do you want me to talk to? This one?
Talk to all of them.
I will. Every single week, there is a new episode and their follow-up letters from other pennies and pallors. Sometimes the person who started the conversation, sometimes other people. It's only $5.
Get in the mix, folks.
And look,
get
I would love
mix.
To like incentivize you in all these other ways by being like, who knows? Maybe we do live shows. If you're a penny Patreon person, we're going to invite you out to this thing. Or, hey, we added this to it. Maybe
we will do those things.
We can make a million promises and do a few things. But, and we mean
subject,
them all.
Folks, subject to change.
Exactly.
Wait, is this from Kate? Did Kate make these?
No, I think Emily Cox did.
Emily made these. Emily yeah. or Kate?
Right.
Emily,
or
I'm going to give Kate credit just because I want to live on her property.
I need this.
I bet we go there subject someday. To change. Oh, I am. We're going to play Asheville. I would do a live show, live page, live live pen pals
what
in Asheville.
What if we did that? That's another
you know
thing.
What?
Who knows? What if we ever did? Be like,
maybe
hey,
we
if
just
you're
do
the Patreon,
live.
Stick around. We're going to do one more letter. Everybody else, just wait for
everyone
us.
Everyone else has to leave.
Hey, I don't care.
Remember when you said, meet us across the street and people took it? People thought it was real?
I know. I still feel bad about it.
I don't. I
okay,
thought it was
you
very
read
funny.
This letter?
Here we go.
Okay. Hi, pen pals. Yesterday, I had to return my dog, Chuck, to the rescue group from... I am slowly getting darker and
yep.
slower as I'm
yep.
reading
Go
this.
Ahead.
I'd like to start over.
Okay.
Leave it in. Hi, pen pals. Yesterday, I had to return my dog, Chuck, to the rescue group from whom we adopted him 2.5 years ago. I have an 18-month-old daughter, and Chuck came to me with a bite history. Despite a ton of work in progress, we could no longer provide Chuck with an environment where kids could be safe, and he was in a position to succeed. I drove 3 hours each way to bring Chuck to the rescue group. We listened to a few of your episodes, and you brought me relief during a challenging day. Thank you. I cried so much on the drive that I worked hard to stay hydrated and made a few extra pit stops. So here's my question. What are your travel bathroom strategies? Given the choice, do you go inside or outside? Do you have chain establishments with whom you have built a trusting bathroom relationship? What unforeseen bathroom challenges have you experienced abroad? I wish you well, Michael. I just got whiplash from that letter.
There is a swing happening. We start here and you are thrown.
You are thrown across the acreage.
You are thrown across the emotional
divide.
I know
we usually work backwards, but I feel like I can't.
I got to get some stuff out of the way. First off, Daniel goes to the Cheesecake Factory. He has a membership there. He flashes his card. They let him use the bathroom whenever he needs to.
Do you know Breckenmeyer? Have you guys ever hung out?
I know.
Great guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Great guy. He did something with Subway, and he only agreed to do the deal if they gave him the Subway card.
Is that forever? Yes.
And they first tried to tell him those don't exist, and he goes, I know they exist, so I'm not doing this unless you give me one. And he was like doing it like half joking, but also really wanted one.
Yeah.
And so they gave him one, and he was like, you think it's going to be the coolest thing ever until A, you realize like you're not eating at Subway enough, and B, when you go there with someone else and flash it, and the person who's making $8.50 an hour goes, sir, what is that? And then, then you feel like you have to like, but if there is a Cheesecake card.
Yeah. You know,
first of all, I'd go there enough.
You know, I did that Chipotle commercial and they gave me the Chipotle card where you get free Chipotle for a year and you can get any amount, whatever. So I have that card.
Yeah.
I go to a wedding. It's a wedding weekend. Yeah. We get in. It's like,
is it unlimited?
Friday.
Whatever you want.
I think it's unlimited, but I think there's like a, it's sort of like
Chipotle is nice, man.
Be chill.
One time,
you know?
Chipotle in Chicago, just that location.
Yeah.
We were doing like this fundraiser for this young woman who had passed away, like for her family. And I just kind of mentioned it to them. I was like, yeah, I was wondering like how much it would cost for chips. Like, we'll donate all the chips and guac. How much do you need?
Oh, that's amazing.
They were the nicest. Now it could have been that location. I would love to think it's the whole company.
It's probably the people. I bet a lot of it's the people.
Sure. Yeah.
But anyways, there was one night, my sister, myself, Jordan, and we were trying to figure out what to eat for dinner. We just got into town for this wedding. And I go, oh, I got this Chipotle card. Let's go to Chipotle. Because then I was like, I've never tried to use the card.
Mm-hmm.
And so we
go. Does it start once you use it? Is that the year? Or had you already
ticked
off?
I think when you get it. And I mean, the case it was delivered in and everything is so magical. So I go.
Al Madrigal.
It was Al Madrigal. And so I go to Chipotle. They're closing in 15 minutes. There's a little bit of a line.
I almost walked out of here.
You got to give it. You got to give it the full thing.
Okay.
They're closing in 15 minutes. There's a line and there's people behind us. And so I go, all right, we have to eat. So let's just hurry up.
Okay,
we know we're getting.
Okay.
They're taking orders. And I can tell. I read those. I worked in those positions.
I know you
too,
did. I know
so
you did. That's why I let you write it out.
Okay, I was reading it and I was like, I think we're fine. Let's go.
So if I'm 20 minutes or less, I'm just apologizing.
I know.
Profusely.
I did. I was like, is this okay? I was like, where's the cutoff?
Right.
And they're like, this happens. You could tell
you and I were like,
this is every night.
You and I are so F2F. Like, we would be like, no,
I'll leave.
I'll look at a person. I'll go, no, literally tell me. If I'm fucking you right now.
Yeah.
Just,
I'll leave.
Just, you don't even have to. I know you probably would get fired if you told me to leave. How about just don't say anything and I'll know?
Yeah.
Like that's how you and I. Yeah. Okay.
But, the vibe was very much like, this is every night.
No, we go till 10.
And at 10, we go close the doors.
Yeah.
And you're in here and we let you out as you go.
You're in here.
And so I think that's, that was the vibe. So I get up there, we order, we go down the line, we get to the thing, and I go, I did a commercial, so I have this. I was like, and they go, what is it? And I go, I think you just scan it because there's a barcode. I think you just scan it. I was like, and I think it's free Chipotle. And they look at it like, what? And I go, look, I know you have a lot of people in line and you're trying to get out of here. I go, what if I just pay? And they go, no. They go, I believe you. They're like, I haven't seen one of these. And they go, can I just get my manager? And I go, oh my God.
We're all ready.
So I'm feeling it.
Right.
I feel it. Even if it was noon and they're like, we're open for 8 more hours.
Right.
I'm still going, oh God. They get the manager. He comes out and he looks at it and he looks at me. He goes, you did a commercial? And I go, yeah. And he goes, I've heard about these. He goes, and I've never seen one. He goes, I can't believe they actually exist. And the employee was like, what should I do? And he goes, just scan it. And you saw like $25 or whatever, and just goes to zero. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, that's what that is. And I just go, yeah. He's like, I did this commercial. I was like, I don't know. I've never used it before. Right. Goes to zero. And you know, we had free dinner that night, but it's similar. You go, oh, if I were to use this as much as I should use it, I'll die. I'll die of my diet will kill me.
Sure.
But
It was crazy to like scan it and go, there we go.
If I could get a Cheesecake Factory one.
Now let's talk about giving dogs away.
Rory, I feel so bad. This breaks my heart.
It's so heartbreaking. Especially because you know there are people that are like, even with the pandemic, like, I got a dog during the pandemic. And then the pandemic, and I was like, I don't want to deal with this dog. I'll just take it right back. And you're like, you're an awful person. This is a scenario that I completely understand because there's no world where your child is not going to come before that dog. And if there is a situation behaviorally where that dog does bite, you're not going to risk the health and well-being and safety of your child.
I know.
Because of the dog. And it sucks because the dog isn't like evil.
Can I be a little mean with love?
Of course.
18 months old?
Yeah.
Pregnant for 9?
Yeah.
You had 2 years to find this dog a home. Is that mean? We can edit it out if that's too mean.
I don't think it's mean, but here's what I want you to consider.
Can I really quick? Because even when we were talking about going to Kate's place or having our own.
Yeah.
I love fishing.
Yeah.
But I've gotten way more sensitive to animals as I've gotten older.
Yeah.
And so now I don't even like fishing because I don't like hooking something and then suffocating it for a while. Which you think that shouldn't be a hard leap I should have had to get to.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I can't help but think of this dog.
Yeah.
I don't want to be mean.
You had two years to have the dog
make friends with a person.
Sure.
Visit there a lot.
Yes.
Then eventually go there. And now the dog never even realizes it's moved. I mean, it would because they're the best animals in the world.
Sure.
Along with almost every other animal. But like,
I have a few things to throw at you.
And I'm not saying he could be like, hey, motherfucker, guess what I did for the last two years?
No, Michael doesn't talk like that.
But he could say, Daniel, that's what I was doing for the last 2 years. And this was, you think if I had another option, I wouldn't have taken it. So that could very well be the case.
But here's what I want to throw at you.
But how much, wait, really quick. Yeah. How much more heartbreaking is it if he's like, that is what I did for 2 years and I couldn't find Brutus a home?
Okay, it's Chuck.
I know.
But. But even more heartbreaking, what if Michael goes, I lied in the letter, I killed the dog.
Rory, I haven't done this to you in a very long time.
But that's someday. Michael over the Patreon writes and goes, that's bullshit. And you guys, I don't even have a kid. Like, Michael, you're a psychopath.
I just needed to think of something before I just asked you wanted about to bathrooms. Write you guys. So I knew that if
I didn't know how to get to bathrooms. I just wanted to get us to bathrooms. Michael, just ask about bathrooms.
One person sent us seeds. All you have to do is ask about bathrooms. You didn't have to send us down this sad ass road about Chuck, aka Brutus.
Yeah, anyways, my dad died. But what's your favorite restaurant?
And we would run with that letter.
We're like, oh, all right. Well, I like Frosties.
Michael, he probably did spend all that time.
Well, no, this is what I want to throw at you. I don't think you're going, oh, we got an 18-month-old daughter pregnant for 9 months. I think you're sitting there going, oh, this dog has a bite history.
Or maybe he
But
hoped.
With a trainer, because I think that's what they said. We did, despite a ton of work and progress, because I think your hope is, yes, we have a dog with a bite history, but we don't know that we have that's a bite history. We don't know that can't be changed or that can be an unlearned reaction. Like maybe there's something in the dog where that isn't a natural instinct, or we can work it out of the dog to where we can live as a happy family. So you want to try that first, which is why I don't think he went pedal to the metal. We got to find this dog a new home. I think it was like, well, no, let's try to make it work with this dog.
Also, now that I'm looking, rescue group.
Yes. Not the pound. Not the pound.
It's living with other dogs on an open, like he did.
Well,
find
this is
a
how
real
we
farm,
got,
like
this is how we
farm.
Got our dog. This is how we got our dog.
Charlie?
Yeah. Charlie was through a rescue group. So
what's that mean?
It means if you're getting the dog or returning it
at a rescue group.
Pretty well. They are people who are determined to, they love dogs more than any dog specifically. They love dogs more than anyone. They're going, Daniel, the dog didn't work out with you. We understand it. Let's say you're returning a dog for a similar reason. You're like, I don't want to return the dog. Right. I mean, I have to. And there's just nothing you can do about it. You've got to return the dog. They're going, we get that. This dog's going to get so much love. They won't just give a dog. Like, Charlie, we had to drive to Bakersfield.
It breaks for Michael, but it breaks for Chuck.
But we had to meet them and meet the dog. Because if they met us, they wouldn't necessarily go, yeah, Charlie can go with you. They might have been like, no, you can't take the dog. You have to tell them your living situation. A lot of these groups, you would be required to show video and photos of your living situation. They would ask you questions. You've come home and the dog went to the bathroom in the living room. What is your response to that? Like, I love it because it's these people going, yeah, show me that you know how to care for an animal. And this animal isn't just some sort of recreational, you know, it's not just a pet to you. You actually are taking in a member of your family. But
Michael's
probably
upset with me. And
Michael's
not upset. But I just Chuck.
But here's the thing. Your love for Chuck in this situation is why you said those things. And also, I can't sit here and say Michael didn't do those things. Michael might be a piece of shit. I don't know Michael. I don't know him.
You're right.
But what I do know...
You know what, then? We're covered either way.
What I do know is that he's using out of bathrooms without buying goods. And that's worse than the dog
thing.
Wait,
he says that?
No.
Oh, man, I almost railed on this guy.
Michael unknowingly is like, because I think the Bills hate me. They concocted stories that I never wrote in the letter.
Well, write us in again. Let us know. I would love to know the process because it's heartbreaking
to me. But Michael, also, if you are going to write us again, pick a genre. Don't... You can't work both ends of the spectrum.
You're hitting us with both hands.
Yeah. Just know. And this is for all our listeners. Because he's saying rescue group, know that that dog, Chuck, is given the
I would have
best
to assume.
Everything.
I would have to assume.
And that's why I think Michael had the faith to go, oh, I'll take it back to this group. As opposed to 3-hour drive to return this dog means
he found
that group
the spot.
Gives
he
a
found
shit.
The place.
They give a shit.
He found the place.
Yes. He knows
right.
They give a
You're
shit
so
because
right,
there's, God, I guarantee,
man,
10 minutes.
Can you imagine
minutes,
if I was, it was a pen pal and I didn't have you to be able to.
You're like, but also it's pen pal. And for some reason you become very Limbaugh. We're like, Daniel's not who he used to be. Daniel's such a different guy now.
Someday, this is what I was going to say to you earlier.
Yeah.
This is what I haven't done to you in a long time. I have a dog story to tell you that I don't think can ever be aired, but I have to tell it to you.
Okay.
And it is, ugh.
Can I then tell it and tell your secret?
You never would.
Okay.
It's not my secret. It's a story I know.
Okay.
But, okay, first, I want to go about, I want to go bathroom, but.
What? Just out of context. First off, I want to go bathroom. Daniel, then just go to the bathroom. I want to go bathroom is so good. I made the hashtag I want to go bathroom. From now on, when I have to use the bathroom, that's what I'm saying. But, I want to go bathroom. I want to go bathroom real quick, but we don't need the two. We don't need two. I want to go bathroom. We don't need the two and the. Get those out of there. I want to go bathroom.
I really don't want to cry.
You should.
But
you should.
How is it not like Harry and the Hendersons when you take Chuck?
It is exactly like it. That's why he was dehydrated. He cried that much. He was dehydrated. That's a lot. That's a lot of water coming
Dude,
out of those two ducks.
Do you
ducks.
Remember when you watched that for the first time? And he's like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Can't you see? I mean, I hope he didn't.
But
do
he didn't want
Chuck.
But Chuck is willingly going. Ooh. The employees of the rescue group are like, he's a very well-behaved dog. He is coming with it. Get out of here then. Quit going back.
Be with that's your kind.
And he's like, yeah.
We don't want you. Can't you see?
I want to go with him. Yeah, also, perspective of the dog, Chuck might be like, I didn't like that house.
God, that's so true, too.
We don't know, Chuck. Chuck, if you're listening to this, write us a letter.
Chuck is at the place, and he's like, I could have told these people, do not have a kid.
They're not. They
he's
shouldn't.
Telling the other dogs. He's like, that. They are just, the way they communicate. They
Their
have
communication
a lot of, I'm not saying
is
they're not
sour.
Bad. I'm not saying they would be bad parents, but they need to grow as much as the child.
Yeah. And here's my thing. If you don't want me to bite the kid, don't cover it in raw meat. They're weird parents. They're weird
the
parents.
The floor is my space. I have tummy time. Why is...
Yeah, I live on my tummy. And you're trying to train this human to be a dog?
But just, man, what that must have felt like to leave your dog. Because I like when dogs die, or cats too, but I dogs...
Goodbyes are hard.
It
goodbyes are hard
because they never did anything in your life except love you
unconditionally,
right? And now that's gone.
Yeah.
So to be like, oh, I'm gonna, oh, I just
have I told the story Michael. About our first dog on here, Maple. Have we talked
your
about
very
Maple?
First dog as a child?
No, at our house that we currently live in.
Well, I think we touched on it.
We got a dog from Vegas. It was
that's all you should have known, right?
And
there.
And you're supposed to wait. So it had a gambling problem. We waited. You're supposed to wait 6 months or something once the puppy's born.
Yeah.
Till people can adopt the puppies. It was a litter. We adopted one of the puppies. We went. We were like one of the first to get to pick of these dogs, and we were like, oh, this one. We like this one, and seems drawn to us. Got in the car, drive home. We name it. We're hanging out with it. The dog is getting big quickly. I'm working a lot. We have like a little area in the back house where we're kind of like gating the dog in when we have to leave.
Sure.
Our landlord still lives in the back house, so the dog can't just go outside. And when she does, she's like going to the bathroom. She's killing the grass. The very little bit of grass that was there is dead. And Scott's being great about it and being like, yeah, it's fine or whatever. But the dog was going to get too big. And he was also like, I think this dog maybe is going to get too big. And I was the one that was gung-ho about it. And then we realized, like, Jordan was going crazy. I was working a lot. So now she was taking care of a puppy, which we don't know how to do, and a baby, or daughter that's like two or something. Yeah. And so it's very overwhelming. And I go, well, then we just have to do the right thing and find another family to take this dog. Mm-hmm. And now this is not 2.5 years. This is like, you know, maybe 4 months or something, 3 or 4 months. Yeah. But still, that day when that family came to get the dog, you know, Elliot's only two. This is where I would cry. Elliot's only two. She watches these two other kids come to meet her dog, to take her dog in the car. And I could tell she couldn't fully grasp it or understand it. And I could tell the dog getting in the car, you can read dogs. If you are an open person, you can read what a dog is telling you without words. Mm-hmm. And I could tell Maple was like aware, I am leaving. Not that I'm coming back. Like I'm leaving. I could just feel it. And so drives off. Jordan goes in the house crying. I go in the house. Elliot's confused. I'm thinking about the trauma that I've caused. This is all my fault. Yeah. I caused all of this. I said, let's get this dog. And Jordan was like, we shouldn't get the dog. And I was like, let's do it.
And I have talked about
this. I did all of it. It was all my fault.
Yeah.
I go in, Jordan's crying. And I go, I know this is awful. I know this day is horrible. I was like, but this will be the hardest day. I was like, each day will get easier. I was like, but either way, this is the right thing to do. And also we found a family that can raise this dog and have this dog better than we can.
Sure.
So the dog's life just improved,
right?
Even though today sucks. I know it.
Right.
And I think about it all the time with Ellie and her connection to that dog, 'cause they were so young and that was a puppy that was like, you're my sister, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then for closure, we got in touch with that family to see if we could come and visit like a few months later. 'Cause I was like, I'd like to kind of see their place, see what the situation is. And we go to visit and, you know, there's a playground in the backyard and there's kids. So Elliot doesn't really care so much about seeing the dog, like Maple again.
Good.
Maple is now like a dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very big. And, you know, went crazy, tail wagging as soon as she saw us, like could smell us. You know, dogs are like that. And then we're going to leave. And I go, Elliot, say goodbye to Maple. We're leaving. And she goes, okay. And because this was her dog, and this is a giant, I mean, this looks like a bear to her at this point. She walks over and just grabs Maple by the neck and just squeezes her from over. And Maple just lets it happen. Like, I know you.
Yeah.
Squeezes it. This mom just, the rain coming out of her eyes where she's like, oh my God. And I'm like, honestly, that means a lot to me for you to now understand what we like. This wasn't us getting rid of a dog. This was a big moment that we had no choice but to do it.
Yeah.
And to see Elliot just go, I get over here and hug the dog. And we left. And I was like, all right, we did the right thing. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, you know, doing the right thing doesn't necessarily mean it's the easy thing to do. And I say all that, you know, because that's my give a dog away story. But also I relate to Michael in a way where you go, it isn't what you want to do, but it is the right thing to do. So in terms of you getting broken up about this, as anyone can and should and probably is right
now. And
so
is Michael.
Yeah. And for Michael, who had that 3-hour drive home, I will say one, I love that you could listen to us and that made you feel better. That is why we do what
we
do.
I'll never forget the guy who saved up episodes to move out of his place.
We do this because talking like this makes us feel better. And if it makes other people feel better, now you know what stand-up comedy is. You feel good that other people feel good, but ultimately I laugh at Daniel. I laugh at me. I laugh at us.
I go home happy. Sure. And you go, oh, other people also felt that way. I go, win-win for everybody. So right. Michael, just know you have two people here who, we get it in the sense that that wasn't easy, but it doesn't make it, you know, it doesn't mean doing the right thing is easy. Doing the right thing is sometimes very difficult. In this case, you had to get rid of a family member because you have a daughter, and there's no world where you go, yeah, our daughter, actually, she'll never see out again, out of her right eye again, because the dog bit her. And the dog wasn't even being malicious. It was just how it reacts to mm-hmm. children. Because certain breeds have reactions to children. That's just how it is.
Or whatever they experienced before you found them.
Yeah. And then your daughter is like, yeah, I can't see out of my right eye because my dad wanted to keep this dog. And you right. go, oh, you know, I'm giving a very extreme example, but yeah. you don't want to have that
you're
story.
Avoiding. You're avoiding.
You don't want that story. Right. You don't want that story. And the payment to avoid that story is emotional heartbreak. It sucks.
Yeah, that's why you have to be able to ask yourself, did I do the best thing I could do for the situation I was in?
And I would say, Michael, you did. Especially because you said rescue group. If you said the pound, I would go, Michael, what the fuck is your problem?
Shelter, I would feel...
But the fact that you went to a rescue group means you know for a fact that dog is going to go to a house that makes total sense. And also... That dog will go to a house where this rescue group will go, hey, do you have kids? And no. They'll go, yes. And they go, then you can't have this right. dog.
It'll be like some that's, like that's retiree. The information. Who's
that's
like,
the data.
It's just me. My wife passed yeah. away. I just want a dog to walk around Florida with. Yeah. And they'll be like,
and the rescue
it.
Group will go, and they'll go, oh, but we might hire a trainer. They go, well, and if you were our first person in here, we would go, yeah, you should try that. Because that's what someone did try. And because we know that didn't work,
mm-hmm.
we now know the next family can't have kids or be wanting kids. And yeah. that's just the deal.
Just
and
the
then,
deal.
And then because of it, Chuck ends up with a better situation where, like he says, put in a position to succeed. Chuck is probably fucking eating some dope ass barbecue right now.
I hope so.
I hope so.
What about bathrooms? I mean, Buc-ee's is obviously.
I just always stop in a place and pretend like I'm going to buy something. So fast food.
But you don't have loyalty and to if bathrooms. They, you know, McDonald's bathroom is always a go-to.
I just stop. Like
you know what's a good move? And
yeah.
I realized this my first tour. Just stop at any hotel.
Any nice hotel.
Yes. You walk in, give them a wave as you
that's
walk
the same.
Through.
That's the move.
Good to
go
see
in
you
the lobby.
Again.
Go in the
How
lobby.
How are you?
Yeah.
And
go
then
in the lobby.
Just go to the lobby.
I've done the lobby.
It's the cleanest,
every time.
Easiest move.
If you're going to go to a gas station or a fast food place, there's a hotel nearby.
Right.
And you just go, oh, you pop in.
Yeah.
And also, if it can be a little bit bigger hotel, the easier it is to get away with it. And also probably the nicer lobby bathroom.
Right. You know what? If you don't
want
to
That's as lie, nice as it's going to get.
You don't want to lie, walk in and be like, just got to use the restroom real quick. And then that's not a lie.
You don't even have to say that.
Then you go use the restroom and then you come back out, be like, you know what? Not staying at this hotel.
I hate this hotel.
Yeah. I hate you.
I hate
this fucking hotel.
I hate your family.
You know how far I am away
you
from this
pets?
Rescue group?
Do you have pets? Do you have pets?
You know, but Buc-ee's is what they pride themselves on.
The bathrooms?
Yeah, that's their
of course,
thing.
They know the bathrooms. Deal.
I love
that when, and having way too much gas. You, it's like, put it away,
when you
folks.
Go to the bathroom, when you go to use a restroom at a place yeah. and it's not a stall, it's an actual like little room door.
Oh, yeah.
That's the...
Oh, my God.
I know.
You could live in there.
You know what else I like?
Put a Murphy bed in there.
When the...
Put a kitchen and a Murphy bed in
towel
there.
Towel dispenser, right. But on the counter and you pull them up. Those always seem to be nicer.
Yeah.
I hate an air dry.
I'm not against an air dry.
Why?
Environment. It's no waste.
But I've been to places that were so nice that they were actual towels.
And you wash
them. You threw those back in yeah. and then they wash. I like that.
I'm into that.
But that's probably a lot
that's
of environment
the golf.
Too,
that's,
right?
That's when you go, you're a guest at someone's country club about to play golf. Those are the bathrooms are the where ones? It's like, you walk in and someone's just like, hi, how are what do you need?
Have you ever experienced?
Like, I don't know, some cologne? They're like, here's 100 colognes.
Have you...
I'm just going to go play golf. Like, spritz yourself. Yeah. Smell good when you get out
Feel
there.
It. Yeah. Have you ever experienced it's a long circular towel and you pull it
don't even,
down
don't.
And, then, and
it's
it
disgusting.
All hangs and it's just
it's
rotating
disgusting.
Through?
It's so gross. You could say there's undeniable data that that is the most hygienically best way to do it. And I go, presentation alone.
Just
and I believe
drape,
you. And I believe you. I'm not here to say the data's
damp,
wrong.
A damp hand curtain.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Mike and
filth.
Kathy's good old days. Lake Puckaway. That's what they have there.
Well, that's a Lake Puckaway move.
Have you ever been to a place?
Get the puck away from me.
You know, we could walk across
Is that
lake.
A term in hockey people say?
Yeah.
Get the puck away from me.
Yeah, and when they're afraid to play. Have you ever experienced the cellophane toilet seat where you push a button and it rotates completely over
it's
a new
cellophane
thing?
It's the same thing, but for your butt.
Yeah.
But I'm more forgiving of that because I'm like, well, that's my ass. We're talking about my hands here.
Well, just don't touch below what you've just exposed.
I can't do it. I just can't.
It's like chunk clink. Chunk clink.
Even the sound is just like it? It's just none of it works for
it's
me.
It's always right next to like sexual stimulators you can buy out of a vending machine.
Exactly. And that's exactly.
Do you remember
right.
when you first yeah. I was in Indiana?
Those pictures were like 12 years old. Arousing.
I bought a condom. I had no idea.
Those pictures were arousing. 75 cents, you had to put quarters in the slots and then you turn it. Yeah. That's when life was good. That's when it was good.
Bowling alley in Rochelle. T-Birds, they still have those.
Leave it at that. Ladies and gentlemen.
Michael, man, we just went on a ride, dude. Sorry I got super sensitive about Chuck as I read more and talked to Rory.
That's because he loves your dog. He loves your dog.
How much you probably worked so hard to do the right thing by this dog, and I believe that you did it. If you ever get any updates on Chuck, will you let us know?
Because
I'm invested in this.
Daniel wants to adopt the dog, is what he's getting at.
I don't say. So. I couldn't. But I just want to know he's happy or she. All right. Thank you so much. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk
and Rory Scovel.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.